Order in the court.
Welcome to another episode of Rap in Order. I'm First Class Red.
And I am Torian B.
How you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling refreshed. I had a week. So this week I had to film a lot because Law and Order's coming to a close for the season. Mm-hmm. And then we take our summer break and then we come back in July. So they kind of like been like having us like come in for like one day and like we're only in one scene, but then they got like a prison scene or a DA scene. Mm-hmm. So we just sit around all day eating crafty. But that's like, believe it or not, that's a rough life. That's pretty taxing because you're sitting around, you know, you can't go nowhere, but you don't want to do too much. Then you get too comfortable, like, you know, start like doing your own shit. Like they'll be like, look at him. He's over there at this podcast or whatever. So you just got to like sit there and like read a book, which isn't a bad thing. I finished reading this wrestler I like. Her name is Becky Lynch. I finished her book. Mm-hmm. So just been doing that and staying kind of busy. How was your week?
It was cool, man. I spent it mostly just catching up with some family and friends. So I took Thursday and Friday off of my job so I can have a 4-day stretch.
Okay.
So like in those days, I pretty much mapped it out. Like, yo, I'm gonna catch up with this family member, see what they got going on. Hung out with my little cousin. He's 12. He's tall as shit.
Going on 30.
Yeah, for real. So kind of just catching up with him because he got into some shit at school. Like, he don't know his strength. Like he's one of those, like he don't know his strength and he's a big dude. So he was like playing with some kid and like roughed him up and like the kid didn't, you know, felt the way and like told on him. So he almost got suspended.
Yeah.
And I was so I gave him like a pep talk yesterday. Like, yo, you gotta know your strength. Like big as shit.
Basically your nephew's a bully.
Yeah. but he doesn't see it that way. And that's the crazy part. He's like, yeah, no, like we were playing and I really didn't put that much strength. And I'm like, yeah,
he probably needs to play with older kids.
Yeah.
I think in those things, like people say like, oh, it's a behavior issue. And it's like, nah, he's probably further along than some of those kids physically. And he probably needs to be around other kids. You know what I'm saying? That can like match it or make him chill out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like think twice before I went through that.
Yeah.
And then I started playing sports and that calmed me right the fuck down.
Yeah. But so that's the thing. He plays football and he's super, super active. So like now we're trying to like get him into basketball and everything like that. So
yeah. It sounds like he just needs an outlet. It sounds like the kids that he's around are like regular kids.
Yeah, they are.
And he's
super dialed up.
Yeah, he's a traditional kid, actually. Mm-hmm. That, you want to know what's funny? Mm-hmm. Yeah, nephew is probably more normal than all of those kids. Not trying to say like other people's kids are like dorks or nerds or anything like that, because I grew up a dork and a nerd. But now people complain about the kids being on screens all day, not going outside, not cutting, getting their knees scraped up and everything like that.
He has a balance because he likes all of those things.
Yeah, and it sounds like your nephew is probably still like, you know, swinging on the monkey bars, mm-hmm. like begging to go outside, like, you know. And those kids, they're probably like, yo, why are you touching me? Like, go on Fortnite, bro. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But other than that, like I was outside. I went to Smooth Things. Shout out to Jamesy.
Yes, I heard it was a good turnout.
Yeah, shout out to Broquette. Yeah, for a Thursday night, it was pretty turned up.
Okay.
A lot of people there. You know, those events for us are always like homecoming in a sense where you see all these people we ain't seen in a minute. The music obviously was great. And I like the space too, Deluxe Flux. Like it's some spot on like 11th downtown.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a really good time. I didn't get home till like 4.
Old school.
God, yeah.
Old school.
I don't have too much of those in me left. But
that, well, you know what? Last time that happened to me was when I took my little brother to the Travis Scott concert and we met up with Rob afterwards and we went to the after party in the 4040 Club in Barclays.
Yeah.
For Travis Scott. But that was the last time I am not built for this, because I remember leaving and Rob was like, let's go to Empanada Mama's. And I was like, sir, it is 3 a.m. I'm going to my bed.
Yeah, it was a full night, bro. I didn't get home till super late and I slept in a little bit. But yeah, man, the week's been good. Been catching up on some TV. I was telling you off camera a little bit how I've kind of delved back into the OJ world. You know, rest in peace to OJ Simpson. Just watching like all that stuff and like from that time frame and the documentaries and all that shit. And I'm like, yo, why am I watching this? But
nah, bro, it was intriguing. You got to think about it. Like he was Tom Brady. I imagine Tom Brady, like, you know, was accused of killing his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And a stranger, like a guy.
It's wild, man. The way they doctored that up, like, just to get Black people on its side, because the documentary that I was watching was very much telling the story of like how OJ was just like the Jay-Z lyric, like, I'm not Black, I'm OJ, which is what he really said. How he pretty much tried to move himself from any race talk and just be his own singular person. Mm-hmm. And it worked out for him because essentially he was The Rock back then.
The Rock, that's a better example.
Yeah.
Not Tom Brady, The Rock.
Because The Rock is just, he's not white, he's not Black, he's just The Rock. You know,
like, charismatic.
So like, that's what OJ was. And I think when you watch it, you see that that's what he wanted to be. But then you see him trying to lean into his Blackness when he gets in trouble.
Yeah. They had to change when they went to his house to like,
go change the photos.
Yeah. They had to change the photos and shit. They had to like put up, you know, the classic photos of that you get on 125th Street, like the husband and the wife holding the baby.
they put up all his photos with all his Black friends and like just really changed the scenery in his crib. And like all of a sudden it was like, yo, OJ's Black.
Yeah. So you've been watching the documentary, but like I've like revisited like clips from the People versus OJ FX documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And like the way that the guy from Friends plays Robert Kardashian, I just picture him just walking into a room with his mouth on the floor every time. Like everybody like was thinking his mans was a murderer except for him.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy to me because I'm like, damn, like poor Robert Kardashian.
Yes.
Like he's just trying to help his friend. And the more and more like he's around shit, he's like, wait a second.
Turned up.
Yeah.
Like, damn, but I'm in too deep to turn back now. But like he started turning his back on him after they had already won.
Yeah.
He started distancing himself a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah. That was pretty much my week. Like, you know, nice little divide.
Music this week in music has been pretty interesting.
Oh my goodness. That's like an understatement. Music wise. So where do we start? I mean, literally as we're speaking, Drake just dropped his, a second diss track in typical Drake fashion.
That was terrible. I didn't like it. I get what he was trying to do. And it's like him just having fun. But I think for me personally, this just shows like what people are saying, like how corny Drake is.
Yeah, I loved it.
I didn't think it was like, it's like, all right, cool. We're going to use AI Snoop Dogg and AI Tupac to rap back to Kendrick Lamar or whatever like that. Like, like that's the equivalent of somebody like using AI Nas to rap to J. Cole.
Yes, and no, only because, okay, so the reason why I get the relevance of this is because AI is such a big topic right now, especially with diss records, right? So like we've been seeing all these diss records pop up. And everybody's like, yo, is this real? Is this not? Like, what is this? Like, we didn't know officially. Niggas didn't know Push-Ups was real officially until, like, yesterday when he dropped it on Apple Music. Right. And was like, oh, okay, it's real. So AI has kind of changed the scope of things. And I think Drake is just playing with the internet the way that we've never seen a rapper of his caliber do.
Yeah, I mean, he gets it, and he probably has like a whole strategy team and shit like that.
Yeah,
but like, this is not like this to me. Like, this is like entertaining like people like the academics of the world, like where like they don't like they only know the cliff notes of like rap beefs and rap battles, and like the only like we said on the previous episode, like the introduction to rap battles or beef was just Biggie and Tupac and people dying and, you know, what has happened on the internet, people showing guns and the shit that 50 Cent and Rick Ross did, or the shit that 50 Cent and Cameron did, all this video shit, Smack DVD shit. Like, I'm just not impressed by it. Like, you know, I'm okay with the subliminal disses and doing it all features and not like giving like a whole diss, but like this shit, I'm not a fan of. Like, I think Kendrick aim to like throw out his dart, and then, you know, if Drake responds, he responds. I don't think that he wanted all of this circus.
Yeah, but I think this circus is what comes with it now, because it's been 10 years in the making. So like, this is probably the most blatant that Kendrick has went at Drake, and then Drake is at the height right now where it's just like, all right, I could see Drake and his white side being like, that's it, and like rolling up his fucking sleeves and being like, all right, I gotta say something. You know, he's coming off a tour. And then I like the kind of arrogance he has to it right now, where he's just like,
yeah, he is.
He's not responding because he feels like he needs to. There's like an air to it where he's responding because he's annoyed.
Yeah. He's like, yo, I have to get give this attention. Get this over with. Let's do that. And I just think that, like, all right, me being Torian, a historian, like in the '80s, a lot of people thought that Big Daddy Kane was taking shots at Rakim. So there was speculation and like people had to like call around, and Big Daddy Kane sort of kind of did what J. Cole did. Like the rhymes was there, obviously. And you know, it was like a playoff of Follow the Leader.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like Rakim, like I think Rakim's brother was like helping manage Big Daddy Kane, and Big Daddy Kane was like, no, like they say he caught pleas, like, no, that wasn't about you. Like, why would I diss the God? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we like basically, and then Kane essentially said like to the effect, like, what do I gain by dissing you? Like,
yeah.
you know, and it was kind of, like, to most people it was obvious, but for, you know, that and things like that, like, you know, and hip hop, like, then they just continue to take jabs back and forth, and people just knew about it. It was like, if you knew, you know. But like when it's just all on like Front Street, like I don't know. To me, it's funny because like that's West Coast shit.
Mm-hmm.
like the funny thing is that like the West Coast rapper,
not much sneak diss.
Yeah, it's not much sneak diss, and it's super yeah. direct. And like I'm talking to you, nigga. Fuck you. Fuck your hood. Mm-hmm. Everything. But like, you know, I just think Kendrick is going to like do it when he thinks is right, and it probably won't be on a project. It'll probably be on another feature. You know.
Yeah, I mean, there's been rumblings for a couple of weeks now that he got something that he's gonna drop. But also there's rumblings that he's preparing his project. So I think he's going to focus on putting his project together and then kind of line this up with it. I don't know. But we'll see. I'm not counting that out at all. I think, this is going to go on for a while.
Yeah. It's not going to go as quickly as people think. Like this whole, you know, you got this amount of time to respond or whatever like that.
I hate that narrative.
Because it's like, you want to listen. You're mm-hmm. not going to not listen. Like, mm-hmm. this has been going on for a decade. So, you know, that's that. So, like, what else is, like, so since Drake dropped the
Tailor-Made freestyle?
The Tailor-Made freestyle, right? So, and the like, just now, breaking news, everybody, Kanye West has jumped on the Like That remix.
Yeah, and that shit sounds so cinematic.
Yeah.
He not completely switched the beat. He still has it in there. I feel like he was listening to Metro shit and was like, I could do something with this. I can make this.
Yeah.
I can make this different. This is like, he made that shit sound like Dune.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like a fucking IMAX. Like, this is like, Like That, the beat itself was a theatrical event, but then he took it to Dolby.
Yeah,
like that nigga took it.
IMAX,
he turned up the sound. Like the sound quality is amazing. He sounds great. You know, I like Petty Kanye. I like when he's in his bag. So, I mean, but, you know, the person that he's dissing the most, and we've heard it, ladies and gentlemen, maybe like twice at this point.
Yeah.
Since it just came out. But person that he's taking shots at the most is J. Cole on this.
Deservedly so.
Yeah. So like, and Torian, if you're watching Torian saying deservedly so, because you know, years ago we know about False Prophets. Cole came at Kanye on that. But then even before that, Cole was kind of stepping up to Kanye, like, oh, I'm dropping this album the same day as Kanye. You know, so like he's always kinda oddly enough had smoke for Kanye for some reason that was never really disclosed. You know why? Right.
I think he just didn't like the person that Kanye. I think Kanye was a huge influence on him. Obviously, College Dropout, like Registration albums, especially in Graduation. I think those first three albums.
What he became.
Yeah, like, you know, he didn't like what Kanye became. And then, like, they had a conversation and Kanye put the conversation online and that pissed J. Cole off as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, that screenshot.
Yeah. So, you know, I just think that, like, J. Cole is just like, yo, like, I really idolize you and like,
and look what you become.
Yeah, like, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
But also in beef, we got Quavo and Chris Brown.
Bro. So their beef goes back a little while now. I think, you know, from most recent, though, I know they were sitting
next to each other at a fashion show in Paris.
Which started a stupid conversation about who's more relevant between the two. Remember that? But
I do.
Anyway, Chris and Quavo, they sat next to each other despite them having odds, but their beef goes back to even like fisticuffs. Like, wasn't,
well, that's what the word was at the BET Awards 1 year. Like, it got physical. I think they tried to get to each other and like, you know, got separated by BET security.
Yeah.
it's just very dumb, especially if it's over. I'm not saying that Karrueche isn't worth fighting over, but like if that's the root of it, it's like
did
that,
Quavo date Karrueche?
That's what it says. It says that Karrueche, you know, was dating Quavo after Chris, and you know, it just became like a thing because like even like, you know, Chris and Quavo are really good basketball players. So like in certain like celebrity games and things yeah, like that, like
go play one on one or something.
Chris has been challenging him. That's what I was about to get to.
He has.
Chris has been challenging him to play one on one and play basketball. And it's just kind of like, it's like uncomfortable. It's like, yo, Chris, like, why are you like this, bro? Yeah. And then, you know,
Quavo, I'm talking to you, fuck nigga.
Yeah.
Damn.
And like, and then you, and then if you notice, like at the beginning of the song, like it's a voicemail of Quavo.
Of Quavo.
Like basically saying like, yo, I'm not on that kind of time. Like, be good. And it's like, yo, like, why could that have not been the end of it?
Yeah.
Like, why is it still like, what, like.
Because something else had to have happened after that, though.
It's just stupid to me. I just don't understand it because it's just like, you guys, like, I just don't feel like there's no real smoke. And I know it's rap beef, but like them saying like, damn, when Takeoff died, like everybody was saying it should have been Quavo, the wrong Migo died. Like that's.
Oh yeah, that's dark.
That's dark. Really dark. Like that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like he watched that boy die. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
That's really dark.
I just think like, you know, like, all right. Like, but the funny thing is like what Chris Brown did is exactly what people want in rap beef.
Mm-hmm. It is. I saw a tweet that said, and I can't say that I disagree with it. The tweet said, it was like, yo, this Kendrick, Drake, and Cole beef, like, that's entertainment, but Mr. Farrakhan need to sit down with Chris Brown and Quavo, because we don't know. Like, that shit could get dark.
I agree. Like, all of that gang shit and everything like that Chris be, like, yelling and throwing up, it's a lot.
Mr. Farrakhan need to go sit with them.
Yeah, I really think that, like, what they have going on is, like, some of, like, the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah, it's really but also it feels the most real out of everything else. But, yeah, man, what else? Are we missing anything?
Oh, no.
I think that's everything so far. But, I mean, you know, Kanye just added another page, I guess, to this beef. Like, so we'll have to see how that plays out. We'll definitely see how that plays out. But I'm tuned in, man. I'm very entertained. I can't lie. I am entertained. But for today, we do want to get into an album. Oh wait, did you hear about that Carl Winslow thing?
All right, let's talk about it.
Okay, so Carl Winslow was trending because. And I didn't know why. And I'm really not on Twitter like that other than like going to go look at what niggas is placing bets on FanDuel.
Lord.
So I'll go to Twitter just to see that. And then I get caught up in seeing other shit. So I see that Carl Winslow was trending. I click on his name and someone on this podcast is telling a story about how he walked in on Carl Winslow getting down with Diddy. And I was like, this story is so outrageous. Like, I don't know if I believe it.
Bro, it's fucking ridiculous. And yeah. Joe Budden, like, talked about it on the podcast this morning, and, like, that shit had me so mad. I was like, yo, why? Why? Like, I'm asking myself, like how did this become, like, a topic? Like, how was this, like, a thing?
Bruh, that shit, and I was like, yo, Carl Winslow, because I was just like, damn, when you see a nigga like that, like, when you see a nigga like that, that's so out the way trending, you just think, oh man, they went to the upper ring.
It was
like,
funny. It's funny because Joe Budden kept mixing Carl Winslow.
Oh my God, he was pissing me off with that. I was hearing that and I'm like, bro, that's not Carl. Like, he was like, yo, he been died. I'm like, bro, y'all niggas talk so factual without looking things up. It's scary.
Yeah, people, a lot of people tend to do stuff like
that. Anyway, yeah, the news cycle is in the shitter right now. There's a lot of shit going on. And if you dare try to keep up, you know, you're in for some entertainment. But the album that we're getting into today, this young man, I thought it was fitting for us to get into this album actually, and for us to even revisit an album in this artist's catalog. You know,
one of the big three. You know, maybe it's debatable, you know, now his place in the big three, or even if he has a place in the big three because of the apology heard around the world at this point. Talking about J. Cole, revisiting the Off Season, which is his sixth studio album. It was released May 14th, 2021. The album featured guest vocals from Moray, Lil Baby, Bass, Black, 21 Savage. And you got like this great, powerful intro from Cam'ron. And it's his first album since Born Sinner to feature any guests. Production was also handled by multiple producers, including Boy Wonder, Jake One, Timbaland, T-Minus, and more. Album was announced back in 2018 when the release of Album of the Year freestyle came out. All roads lead to the fall off, which was how he ended that freestyle. And J. Cole is very strategic. I don't think he gets enough credit for how strategic he's been with his rollouts. Just for example, like this came out in 2021, but it was announced way back in 2018. And even when you see his list of albums that are supposed to be coming out, everything has followed. I think he's stuck to that list to a T. I think the only thing that was on there was some album called It's a Boy, which I don't know, maybe we'll still get before the fall off comes out if he drops like an EP or something. But we'll see. So the fall off came out. He did like a bunch of freestyles and everything like that. He made it his business to really collab with other people and rap on other beats leading up to this release. So this was like his warm up leading up to this. What were your thoughts on this album when it came out?
I was actually excited for it because I felt like Cole was getting into a space. Like it felt like he was getting into a space. There were two other times when he gave this feeling, obviously, for Friday Night Lights. And then when he was doing like that rollout before Born Sinner, when he was putting out those projects that had like Michael Jordan on the cover and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
He was doing those little projects. Cause I like it. Like when Cole kind of just, when he just raps, like, and just like unapologetically just kind of like is boastful and just rhymes and kind of doesn't like stick to it. It seems like he's such a dedicated like rapper and writer that when he sticks to a story, like he really sticks to it. And then like it kind of gets lost in translation. You kind of get bored with it. Like, I don't think J. Cole is boring. I just think that his focus on his laser focus on things.
Focus on things.
It's too much sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, break it up a little bit, bro. Like you're losing me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of like how I feel about it with J. Cole. Like, I'm like, all right, this is how like this nigga be like losing me sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, he's too laser focused on this topic or this subject that he's doing.
I never thought about it that way, but you're right. Because I think he hasn't always been like that though. Because he got into Formula Cole when you could say 2014 Forest Hills Drive. Because the first album, he had loose formulas. But the first album was pretty boring, Sideline Story. Yeah. But that was him. He didn't really have that much of a formula there, but he played into his basketball background a lot.
Yeah,
that
he was did. Like, yeah, it was the basketball theme. Did. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he refined his focus and developed a theme when 2014 came out, because everything was stripped away. Like him wearing jewelry, him starting to grow his hair out, him getting back to like his, like developing his essence as a rapper, as an MC, and developing his sound the way that he did. But with this one, I liked it a lot when it came out. Like it was like it felt different. It felt like a shift. Like all the freestyles that he did leading up to this felt special. Yes, particularly that LA Leakers freestyle that he did was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best freestyles I've seen in quite a while. Like his flow on there was crazy.
Has Cole ever done a front flex freestyle?
I don't think he has.
Wow, that's
he went to LA Leakers. Yeah, he went to LA Leakers and he fucking burned that shit down. Like he killed that. But this album came out and it was very well received, and for good reason. I think it's a short and concise project. It's 12 songs. I think it's like under 40 minutes. You know, but it's still jam packed with moments. Like, you know, you got 21 Savage popping up on My Life was crazy. I think one of the special things about projects that came out around this time, I think the first project that I can recall felt like a blockbuster was Astroworld, where like you didn't have the features listed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of just listen and then somebody popped up that you know, and you're like, oh shit, like when you heard Sicko Mode.
Yeah. I think it's smart, but it's like so frustrating.
Yeah, but it's only for that first week because they make an event out of it. And then when you go back to the album now, they have everything listed, but it's for that first listen.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm not a fan. Tell me who's on it.
But imagine you hear, you know, J. Cole's new album and you just listening and then you just hear Hov out of nowhere. That's a moment. You know?
Tell me. So I can go, that could be the first song I go to.
But that's why they don't do it, because they want you to listen in sequence. I think even Cole's manager, he tweeted when I Might Delete Later or Might Delete Later came out. He was like, yo, please listen to it in order. We work really hard on sequencing. Mm. That's like a thing. So I'm not mad at that. But yeah, I say all that to say, when I first heard this album, I was very impressed. Kicks off with 95 South, like I mentioned. And to that element of surprise, had no idea Cam was going to be on this when I heard it. But he added so much. Like, he added so much to this opening, even the end with that interpolation of Lil Jon. Throw your hood up. Like, it just all felt good. Like, and hearing Cole in that bag.
To open your album, who are the two people that you get to open your rap album like this, like Cole just did with this?
That's a good question. I would love for Birdman to talk shit on my intro.
On your intro?
I want Birdman to talk some shit on my intro. Just like, yo, just get in there, just say some shit. And then, who else? And that's tough. You got two already?
Yeah, I do. Woo Kid is opening my track.
Okay.
DJ.
Kid. Yeah, that's a good one.
Have DJ Wu Kid open it and talking on there. I probably will have T.I.
Oh, that's good.
Like have
oh,
T.I.
actually,
like how he did with Cameron. Right?
Yeah, actually, my other one, I would have DJ Clue open.
DJ
Clue. And then the ending, I would have Birdman speak.
Yeah, have Birdman speak out there. Yeah, yeah. Nah, I ain't gonna lie. That's pretty solid. Yeah,
I would have DJ Clue. I just love how Clue makes everything fit. A lot of people don't like the echo, but I love
that's just nostalgic. Like,
it just feels.
I gotta find that. I don't know if it's Birdman song or Lil Wayne song, and it's like I haven't heard it, I don't think, since like 2009, mm-hmm. 2008. Like, but like it's a song where Birdman, like Wayne is rapping, but Birdman on the underlayer is just talking shit.
Mm.
Just like Junior writing poetry, like he's just talking shit. I gotta find it because I always enjoyed that shit.
Yeah, nah, I think those will be, that'd be a good track. Just had him talking shit and Clue. It just feels exclusive when he speaks on it.
Yeah,
it's dope. It's a dope feel. All I have to say, 95 South is a great intro. It kicks right into Amari, which is the title page tribute to Ibrahim's son's name. That's his son's name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Timbaland co-produced this. You know that story about it?
No, I don't. What's the story?
So Timbaland does Twitch. He's pretty big on Twitch and he makes beats on there with his Beat Club fam. So he made a Twitch making this beat. But then, you know, Cole doesn't watch Twitch really, but he goes and he watches, because people pull from the Twitch streams and he put it on YouTube. So he went and he watched the stream on YouTube and he saw this beat and was like, yo, this shit is crazy. So he called Timbaland and was like, yo, can you send me that beat? And he was like, yo, I didn't save that one. I just made that in a moment. So he had to recreate the beat and then give it to him.
That's fucking dope.
Yeah.
This is great. I'm glad Timbaland didn't tell that story. I'm glad it was Cole too.
But yeah, no, it's a dope lead in. You know, it's actually not one of my standouts on this album, but I like it. It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But then that takes us into My Life, which is one of the highlights on this album for me. And because of 21.
Yeah. Remember when Morey came out, how I was campaigning for that nigga?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, man. I ain't gonna lie. I thought he was gonna be like bigger. Like the way, like, I don't know. I thought he was gonna be like a, what is his name? Something Judah? David Judah? What Judah? Damn.
Oh no.
That gotta be yelling all the time. The fat dude. Looked like he worshiped the devil.
Oh, the one that was like, nigga.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forget his name.
I thought Murray was gonna be like the good version of him.
I forgot his name. But
Something Judah.
it's a bunch of them that's like in that same class. So like Rod Wave is in that class too.
And Rod Wave is the big Rod dog of that
it.
Class.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Rod Wave, all 300 pounds and 5'4". Yeah,
bring that up. That nigga is 304 pounds and 5'6".
Yeah, I nigga.
He said he built like a bomb.
Yeah, I nigga limp like, is struggling.
That's fucking crazy. He say somebody built like a bomb.
Yeah, that's nuts.
But yeah, no, my life is amazing. Yeah. 21 Savage.
Incredible.
He did what he does.
Loaded.
Like the flow is crazy. I got a good heart, so I send teddy bears anytime we make their mama cry. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, impressive.
Yeah. What else? That takes us into
applying pressure.
Yeah, applying pressure. Beat is hard.
What I have a question. What are your thoughts on the way how he used lowercase letters for each track?
Yeah, and spaced out.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Has he ever explained what
I didn't see. I couldn't find anything. I think he did that on purpose to just catch your attention and make you read what it says or whatever. Like that.
Yeah. People, I don't know. These artists, man, they find different ways to, like, it's either a lot of times the stud, the way they stylize their track list is either all lowercase for everything or all uppercase. Like Beyonce did it for her last two albums. Everything is uppercase. It's like all of it is.
Did she do that on the Beyonce album as well? I think.
I don't think so. She did it for Renaissance and she did it for Cowboy Carter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on Applying Pressure is another prime example of J. Cole proving that he can rap better than not the 99% of rappers that are out here, and he's really talking his shit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like another example of why so many people are upset that he didn't, that he,
oh yeah,
like bowed out of engaging.
Yeah, because this is where he has that whole later half about being the best to do it, and
yeah,
nobody do it how I'm doing it, but when you really doing it, like yeah, that
talking his shit, and it's just like it's not like it's a problem, bro. Because it's like we know we believe you, so like it's actually frustrating. For you to do it, like to do this, why'd you do this to us, J. Cole? Why'd you make more go off like that?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. Applying Pressure is definitely like one of the tracks that definitely caught my attention.
It is, yeah. It's easily one of my highlights on this album.
Yeah.
But then, man, we get to another highlight for me. Punching the Clock with that Dame Lillard sample that he takes from the game of Dame scoring 61 points. Where he had that interview where he's just talking about like, yo, like, I think so the outro that Dame has pretty much encompasses what this whole album means and the title of like really putting in the work in the off season and how, you know, a highlight game isn't really that big without, you know, the time that it took to do it. Fire.
I thought this track was dope. It's a track that like I've like listened to when I was like doing some workouts and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, yeah. Like this gets me in my mode. And then J. Cole being like, I know that he works out like a basketball player, like, you know, in that mode. So it's kind of, I'm like, all right, this was kind of clever.
Yeah. And what else? Oh, 100 mil. 100 mil is self-explanatory, right? Like, you know, keep working. When the success is attained, just like keep putting up the board.
I don't like this song though.
Yeah,
I don't like it when he sings.
He sings a lot,
bro. I'm so tired of rappers singing. Like, give R&B singers jobs.
Yeah, I think you know J. Cole's so anti giving other people jobs. He's just now doing it. Like the nigga was producing for himself for so long, but then you know one thing at a time with him. I guess he'll get there. But pride is the devil. Is another highlight for me for a couple reasons. One, you got a Lil Baby feature where he sounds amazing.
And Lil Baby
picks up the flow that Cole was like rapping on and just
Baby was at his height at this
time. Yeah, he took the baton with this shit and just ran with it. Like he fits the song so perfectly. But then there's some lyrics in here that I wrote down too where it kind of plays into where he's at now, where I was like, huh. And I entertained the thought for a minute, like, what if this nigga is just role playing with that apology thing, with forgetting the lyrics, all of that stuff? Because he says, terrified, paranoid, I put you over everything to fill a void. And when you're gone, will I be destroyed? Talking about pride, right? So, like, him putting seemingly his career on the line for that one moment, you know, we're seeing the ripple effects of that. And that kind of trying to destroy his rep as an MC. And how is he going to come out on the other end of that? And that me knowing how good he is strategically as a rapper up until this point, it's like, yo, I really want to see what the fall off does or what the fall off has. Is it going to denounce how we feel about him? Is it going to feed into it? Is he going to piggyback off of something like this, talking about his pride? It opened up a lot of questions for me.
Those are really good questions. I think that this was a lot of foreshadowing. And a long time ago, there was an interview where Wale was saying that, like, if people knew the things that, like, J. Cole said behind closed doors, they would look at him differently. Like, I'm a lot nicer. He was, like, basically, like, campaigning for himself to be liked. And I think that I think J. Cole has, like, a really big ego, and I think that he has, like, a lot of feelings. And I think the reason why he pushes this Zen shit and, like, laid back shit is because how big his ego is and how much he probably gets out of pocket and shit. And he's probably very, like, protected and, like, isolated by his team and his people, as he should be. So I think that he's probably wanted to jump out the window a lot more than he does. And because he's so lyrically gifted, like, I think he knows how to, like, tone it down or, like, dumb it down or, like, leave things out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very hard for him not to jump out the window and, like, be on the same kind of time as Kendrick. Because he's like, I can talk all this shit and, you know, and then talk all this shoot 'em up, bang, bang shit. But, like, where does that leave me? That's not how my fan base sees me. And this is not what I'm trying to be.
Yeah. He kind of rebuilt his fan. Like, he reshaped his fan base a little bit. Like, I think his fan base appreciates his growth in a sense that, like, you know, when he first came out, you know, the Dollar and the Dream shit, and, like, we saw the nigga go to college, and the biggest thing about him was, like, yo, he's so minimal, and, like, he talks about student debt and all of that shit, like, shit that his fan base was going through, so, like, people could relate. I remember going to Mercy College and listening to J. Cole and being like, damn, yeah, this nigga talking about what I'm going through. So I got it. But then he showed, like, the extent of that, because, like, he got to where ultimately to where a rapper seemingly supposed to get, because you get successful, you wear jewelry. But then he stripped all of that away.
Let Go of My Hand is a song that I think is probably, like, one of the best songs he's ever made.
Yeah, I would agree. So the idea of, like, talking about his son is growing up. And, like, trying to walk with his son being like, yo, let go of my hand, like, I got it, type shit.
Right.
I like that element. But then there's that highlight, right? My last rap was with Puff Daddy, mm-hmm. Who would have thought? Which feeds into that that rumor that they all got into it.
That's a fact. They did.
So, yeah, but I only say rumor because we don't know, like, the facts of, like,
okay,
what happened.
Okay. Well, he definitely was obnoxiously yelling in J. Cole's face, in Kendrick Lamar's face,
mm-hmm.
about that King of New York.
Shit.
Yeah, even though, like, that is a little frustrating because it's like I would expect Puff or somebody around Puff to explain to him what he was doing. Like, it was a play off of Frank White being the King of New York and Pac being the King of the West Coast. Like,
but I could see if Puff was yelling in a spot, I could see him just being drunk and doing that. So I don't doubt that Puff was just drunk and on tilt when he saw Kendrick. Like, does nigga think he the King of New York? Like, let me have a talk with him.
Yeah, it's just disappointing to because it's like Puff understands subliminals and he understands shit. And it's like, he didn't listen to that song. And, like, him being like, actually, he probably was high, mm-hmm. like, doing that shit. And it's crazy because, like, I'm shocked that, like, Top Dog and them, they probably wasn't, like, as alert as they could have been to, like, fold that nigga Puff up.
Yeah.
Like, trying to pour liquor on that nigga and shit, mm-hmm. like that is OD. Like,
that nigga wild out.
Yeah, like I was there, ladies and gentlemen. I was there. It was a New Year's Eve party. But, like, yeah, just being there, like how all that shit transpired. Puff was an asshole that night.
Mm. It's not very far-fetched. But then, you know, to kind of piece it up, Puff gives, like, this prayer at the end of this song.
Yeah.
Puff always makes amends with people that he beefs with, at least on record.
Right.
So yeah, that one is a standout. I think Interlude is a really big standout for me too.
this was actually the first single that we got from this album. Orthodox. And to put out an interlude as the first song that we got. Because I think he put up, I remember him putting up something on Instagram where he was like, yo, I promised myself that I wouldn't put anything out from this album and just put it out. But he was like, yo, fuck it, you know, and then he put this out, which was like a good teaser for this album.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Nice come up, coming for the throne of rap, you know.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, coming off the apology, it does affect how I listen to certain things, because in this song, he's like, I'm at your neck. Like he's talking.
I'm glad you're saying this, because that's what I was trying to express. Like, I don't like when we picked this album, I'm like, yo, like, I really wish he just didn't respond and just waited shit out.
Yeah, if he just waited it out and just did, because he didn't. What Kendrick said didn't warrant a full song response from him.
Mm-hmm.
He could have just, you know.
That leans into it again, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think them niggas is friends like that. I'm pretty sure if I said something, Rex could call me and ask what that was about.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if it's true, but, you know, our friend tells us that.
Our Dreamville correspondent.
Yeah. He said he spoke to him and was like, yo, you know, niggas is saying I got to get you back. And Kendrick basically was like, yeah, go for it. He gets him back with 7-minute drill. And then
Radio Silence,
he drops it off. Yeah. He's hitting up Kendrick to, you know,
yuck. Hey, bro, what you think of that?
He kind of just
gotcha, bro.
I guess he just got in his own head after he didn't hear from him and was like, damn, yeah, he don't like it. Damn, he don't fuck with me. All right, I gotta nip this. I gotta apologize, and kind of just scrambled and did what he did.
That's a good prank. Imagine if like Kendrick has like a dark sense of humor, like how like Danny and Courtney do. And like he just sees like him spiraling and he's just laughing about
it. Yeah, he probably is. Yeah, man. So I can't wait till Kendrick drops something. Gotta drop.
Well, the climb back is next, right?
Yeah. He also dropped that as a single.
Okay. This was him, you know, he's saying he found his passion for rap again.
Mm-hmm.
This song is like, this has something to do. He had a essay called The Audacity.
Yeah.
And this song is tied to it. Right. So once again, like, I'm telling you, bro, it's hard. Like when I see, okay. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm an avid watcher of Joe Budden podcast and I'm an avid watcher of the Rory and Moore podcast. Like, I'm just attached to it. So I'm going to watch both weekly. So like seeing somebody like Julian, who's very close in the OVO camp, seeing him like get so like upset at people being upset that J. Cole hasn't, it like took back his response, and like him saying like, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. And it's like, yeah, but J. Cole, like, it does matter. Like, J. Cole cares. He just doesn't want to do it anymore, which is fine. But it's like, it's still like, bro, you kind of like conditioned me to think like, you know, that's like somebody coming out saying they're going to beat Mike Tyson's ass. We're conditioned to think that Mike Tyson is the baddest man on the planet and is going to beat somebody up.
And that's lasting marketing, because Mike Tyson was advertised as the scariest man on the planet. Iron Mike. I don't think we have marketing that's that powerful anymore.
Yes,
we will forever think, even if Mike is in a wheelchair and can't function.
Yes, you like, think you think he still got a punch in him, right? That's all I'm saying. Like, J. Cole marketed himself, and I believed it too. I believe that Drake is the biggest star in the world. I believe that Kendrick Lamar is the best rapper in the world, right? Because he sells himself as the boogeyman and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also believe that J. Cole might actually have some say. So, yeah, like it was kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
J. Cole, you let Torian down.
Especially in this song, you know, he said, made a little tune called Folding Clothes, and the nigga still ain't known to fold under pressure. He said that in this song. I was listening to it like, God damn it.
Telling you.
Damn it. But yeah, so that takes us into Clothes, which is not the last song on this album, but it is a really good sample flip.
And it's a good story.
Yeah. I think, who did I say? I think Nas would have sounded great on this.
You ain't never getting a Nas verse.
Probably not. I think Nas would have sounded really good on this. especially because he's such a good storyteller. But this song is about the demise of a friend of Cole. So it is a sad story, but the beat just sounds so good. Like, it's a really, really good song.
Yeah, it's good. It's cool.
One of the deeper cuts on this album. But then that takes us into the finale, Hunger on Hillside, you know, which is a fitting closing.
It is. I got it.
Yeah.
Hillside is an area in Queens. He opens it with I-95. If you know anything about I-95, it goes from Maine all the way down to South Florida, and it can get you up and down the East Coast. Like, mm-hmm. So if you're coming from where he's from in North Carolina, like, you know, that's a straight shot to New York City and vice versa, you know. So, you know, him saying, like, you know, he moved to New York and came to Queens because Queens is where the best rapper alive to him it was. And he went to college there. And, like, he did all of these things to establish himself to be the MC that he dreamed about. Because, right, because he easily could have been, you know, Lil J. Cole and been from the South or something like that. But, like, you know, he wanted to come to the Mecca and study, you know, like, that's kind of like some, like, samurai warrior shit. Like, you go, you know, to the mountains of Japan and, like, you just train with the monks and shit like that. Like, he did that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, that's just the whole aura of his, like, story. It's so funny because, like, Jay-Z is so beloved, but I feel like so many people could tell you a story similar to, like, it's like a pilgrimage, like, that they have to do to, like into the zone of, like, who Nas is and mm-hmm. everything like that. Like, J. Cole took all of the steps. And now we're here. Like, I wish that, you know how, like, sometimes people be like, yo, the jury, like, can't, like, see anything, like, that's on television currently or anything to influence them.
Mm-hmm.
But they've seen it. So it's like, you telling me not to look.
Turning away.
You telling me to turn away and not to look. But nah, bro, I'm looking. I can see. Like, I know what's going on. So it's hard for that's my judgment of this album project is really, 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 like, kind of, like,
skewed
because of this, the recent current events.
Okay.
Because in rap, last thing I say, in rap, people say you got to live your raps. And then people are like, well, rappers are always liars. Yes, that's true. But when it's something that you don't have to lie about, that's what's frustrating.
Yeah. So that in itself is the reason why I did want to do this album, because that's like what we get a kick out of on this show anyway, of like just revisiting these older albums, seeing how they've stood the test of time. And granted, this album is only 3 years old, not even less than 3 years old, coming up on three. And it's already kind of aged itself because of the new thought process that Cole added to the mix.
Yeah.
So like me listening to this album, you know, you'll hear it's still a good album, but then you'll hear certain things that Cole says that you're like, well, I don't really put much stock into that, you know, because it's not, you know, rap is colorful. Like, it's, you know, it's storytelling. It's, you know, it's a lot of it is fabricated. But then you hear a guy that's been telling you for years that he'll kill anybody in front of him lyrically. And then he gets the opportunity that we want him to shine and do that. And he gracefully bows out. It's kind of, you know, it's unsettling a little bit. Like, and to the common, you know, to the casual rap fan, they're like, yo, yeah, what's the big deal? But it's like, yeah, you wouldn't get it because you're a casual. Like, you don't understand how we've been wanting some shit like this to pop off from this person that we've been following for years and believed in his lyrical ability. And then he gets that moment and he's just like, yeah, no, never mind, guys. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Nigga, we don't want you to pop off guns. This is like y'all just getting in the fucking ring.
This is fictional. This is light. Like, come on, bro. Like, listen. My issue. I want to make sure I'm clear on this. My issue is not Cole bowing out of the battle. It's him apologizing to Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, and the whole yo. And if he feels any way, I'll take it on the chin if he wants to respond. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, it's just I didn't understand that part. He could have just been like, oh, you know what? I thought that this was going to be like a friendly battle, and
he could have said that
and been like, you know, I don't want to be a part of what's happening.
Yeah,
and maybe he didn't want to divulge too much, but like we all know that's where his head was at with it. Yeah. I just think him saying like, I want to apologize to Kendrick, and he can take his best shot. Like, nah, fuck that. Like, listen,
been like,
I stand by what I said, but like, if it's not something that's pot, like, you know, bring some positivity towards it or something like that, this just ain't lyrical sparring, I'm going to step back because I was unaware that these two men really had a dislike.
Really have animosity toward each other. And I was in it for the sport. I'm going to step out the way.
Yeah, like, I get that. But I think the way he, the words that he chose were poor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
I think also, like, you know, I can cut him some slack in a sense that it looked like it was some spirit of moment shit. I don't think it was very well thought out. It seemed like a little, it was a little chaotic. I picture visually in my head his team backstage scrambling when he was doing that.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't planned. And I think since he was going off the top, I think since then, as the dust settles, there's probably a million things that went through his head that he probably could have did different when he said that.
Yeah.
And it was spirit of moment. So I can cut him some slack in that sense. But, you know, when I just listen to the project coming to ratings now, I can give it a 4 out of 5. I think I do feel like it's his most enjoyable project for me. When I listen to as tight as 2014 Forest Hills Drive is and as pivotal as it is in his career, I think I get more enjoyment out of listening to this project. I think it should, like, even though it's shorter, it doesn't feel that short. There's a lot packed into these 12 tracks. And his lyrical ability was stepped up, even though, you know, you can't believe in all of it.
Yeah. KOD is for me like the album. But I give this album 3.5 waffles out of 5. Like I said, it's not a bad album. Like 3.5 is not bad at all. Like, it's just that, like, I'm like, all right, it's talented, you know, great. It has some really great songs on here. The intention was great, but I just can't, it don't, the bars don't hit the same after seeing that, like, he doesn't want to engage. So it's kind of like weird. It's like, you know, it's like being a boxer and saying, I'm taking all comers. And you be like, no, not you.
Not you. Back there, though, I'll fuck you up.
Yeah, like.
But, I'm good.
that's like how I see it too. Like, that's just where I'm at with it.
Yeah, man. But yeah, bunch of highlights on this album. 95 South for me, My Life, Applying Pressure, Punching the Clock, Interlude, to name a few. What's your highlights?
Oh, I was so ready to move on. I'll tell you right now, Interlude is definitely one of my highlights. Applying Pressure. I definitely like Hunger on Hillside, Close. Pride is the Devil and Let Go of My Hand.
Okay. Well, for you guys watching, if you haven't heard this album in a while, I do recommend listening to it. I think you're going to listen to it a lot differently due to the chain of events that have happened if you've been following. But let us know what you think on your re-listen or first listen. I'm First Lives Reg.
And I'm Torian B.
And we're out of here.
We'll catch you guys next time. Dun, dun.